Welcome back to Fine Wine and Evil Spirits, a husband and wife podcast where we bicker about the unearthly while sipping on booze. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kevin.
Well, that was really bland. That was a very bland I'm Kevin.
Kevin here.
Kevin, Kevy please. Kev here. So this is actually our fifth episode. We're going outside of the United States and diving into Australia. I think we're going to visit a different country every five episodes. So in honor of Australia, Kevin, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a dark red wine, 19 Crimes. And it's a little bitter, but it's not too bad after you have a couple cups.
He's not too much of a wine guy. He's more of a whiskey guy.
Yeah, like my whiskey.
Well, tonight I'm switching up and I'm drinking the Crown Royal Whiskey on ice with some maple syrup because I saw it on Instagram this week and it looks satisfying, but don't know if I can handle it. It's a little too strong for me.
So, what would be your favorite whiskey if you had to?
So far, Jack Daniels.
Yeah, you don't like the Canadian whiskey?
No, I think the Jack Daniels, like we said before, it has like a vanilla-y taste to it, yeah, so like, I don't know.
It's dynamite.
Yeah.
But so I like them both, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I made it a little too strong to begin with. So let's get into this. Our first story is about the Drop Bear. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
No, I don't think you are.
Why'd you drop the bear?
No, I didn't drop the bear. The bear dropped itself. So in southeastern Australia, it has become home to the drop bear, a large mythical marsupial the size of a leopard and just as deadly. It is said to have...
Leopards are fast.
Yeah, I don't know if it's as fast. Or
Quails are not very smart.
Well, we didn't even get into like whether it's a koala bear or not.
Oh, I just saw bear, Australia. When I think of that, I even think koalas or kangaroos.
Koalas or kangaroos?
There's more kangaroos than people in Australia.
Can you imagine if the world, or at least Australia, was overcome by kangaroos? That would be terrifying.
I think, that would be kind of
They're kind of vicious.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be caught in the middle of that. And there's four different types of kangaroos. It's kind of cool. They have different species. Well, different types.
What different types?
I don't know. Right now I can't really remember. I know there's one with red fur. That's like the biggest type.
The ginger kangaroo?
They can grow up to like 10 feet tall.
10 feet? That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah, ain't that scary? And they can jump probably just as high.
So 20 feet. 20 feet of kangaroo.
20 feet dunking on you.
I feel like kangaroos are the gangsters of Australia.
Yeah, but I'd be more afraid of the koala.
The koala, why?
Ah, man, because it's actually kind of a shame because of 90% of the population of the koalas have chlamydia. So all I'm saying is just you gotta be careful. I mean,
so you're upset for the koalas.
I mean, it's all cute and stuff, and you're like, I ain't touching that.
I wish people felt that about other people instead of just marinating with everyone. That's a new word I'm using.
Okay. Well, I was reading up about it, and you know what? I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna let you proceed what you gotta say.
Okay.
And start.
So this drop bear. Not a koala that we know of yet.
Mm-hmm.
Is said to have a coarse orange fur with blotchy patterns like a koala. Okay, so he's like a cousin.
Their paws or fingers are weird. Like,
why?
You see, like on a koala, like you got like the two that go sideways.
Why? Why do they do that?
So they can grab on the branch better, I guess.
Oh, well. Okay. I guess because they spend most of their time up in the tree. They need something to hold on to. But unlike koalas with their cute, cuddly appearance and their apparent chlamydia, drop bears are predatory.
Sorry to drop the bomb on you.
And known for dropping from above and using their strong forearms to hold onto their prey. Drop bears are believed to inhabit closed canopy forests and are in densely forested areas and open woodlands, but have never been seen near roads or heavily human populated areas. They feed on animals that are larger than themselves. At least that is what has been found through fecal specimens.
Oh, dude.
Poop.
Yeah, but that made me think of another thing about the koala, but I'm not going to stop you.
No. I want to know about the fecal. All right,
so koalas, when they have babies, they're called joeys, right?
Joeys. Like, kangaroos have joeys.
Okay, so these joeys, when they first start eating and stuff, they eat the mom's poop.
Just
as she's just dropping them, the little joey's just like, wow, this is an amazing meal. Like, you know, just
I'm picking it up straight from mommy's butt. That was my attempt at Ariana Grande.
Yeah, well.
Just the parody version, I guess. So these creatures can wait. Yeah, these creatures can wait for hours. I can't wait minutes to get my hair done, but they can wait hours to ambush animals for a surprise kill. When they see the prey, the drop bear will fall from up to 26 feet and pounce at the right time. The attack renders the victim confused, which allows the drop bear to viciously bite the neck and subdue the prey. Now, I printed out pictures for Kevin. Kevin, look at this right there. That is supposed to be the drop. That's supposed to be the drop bear.
It's
basically a koala with very sharp fangs. And then in the other picture, it shows a koala.
A flying koala.
Well, I would say jumping or falling.
They do jump tree from tree, yeah. Tree to tree, in words.
Woody from Toy Story would say, falling with style. so they look like they can get a pretty good span. But as far as humans go, bushwalkers have made allegations of being dropped on by the drop bear and receiving substantial injuries such as lacerations from their claws and bites. There have been no fatalities, and apparently most of the attacks have been considered accidents. I was actually reading on another website, I don't know if I have this one listed on the website, on our website. But they said something about them attacking people not from Australia. And if people don't have Australian accents,
They ID you first? Just to make sure.
Yeah, they ID. The drop bears ID you to see if you're Australian or not.
He's not a local. Yeah. Get him.
So they apparently attack people that aren't locals. I don't know how they know, but they do. Between the snakes and the spiders, though, Australia was scary enough. Now I find out that they have mutant koalas dropping from the sky.
There's a lot of exotic animals there.
Yeah. So there are a few tips for keeping safe from the drop bears, which include having... Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Upturned forks braided in your hair.
Upturned forks.
So, like, a fork turned up towards the sky, towards the drop bear, braided to keep it up there.
Was that for like protection or something?
Yeah, so that way they're like, oh, better not drop on that head. It has a pointy fork on it.
Hmm.
Or screwdrivers. Screwdrivers were also said to help.
Well, they're really jumping out of trees, huh?
That's what they say. So, or you can put Vegemite or toothpaste behind your ears, but there's no evidence to prove that either method works. Do you know what Vegemite is?
I do not.
So it's this thick, black Australian food, kind of like peanut butter, but it's made from leftover brewer's yeast extract with various vegetable and spice additives.
Wow, that sounds appetizing.
I'll have to. But drop bears have a highly developed sense of smell and are deterred by strong, unnatural odors. So using the Vegemite or toothpaste on your sweat glands, such as your armpits or behind your ears, helps to mask the human scent.
Wow.
So if you plan on making a trip to Australia...
Which part of Australia is this again?
Australia.
Victoria? Queensland?
It just said Southern Australia. Stop making a big deal about this.
I'm just saying. Like, there's different parts of it, you know?
Okay. Southeastern Australia.
I'm scared to go to Australia.
There's spiders and snakes there that are venomous. They should be scared. Really? And sharks.
Sharks that are venomous?
No. Stop.
Can you imagine that?
Make sure to take extra precautions if you do decide to visit. Drop bears have been known to come around more in the beginning of April to breed. Keep your peepers open. And don't go near koalas, okay? Let them hang in their trees and do their thing, because you never know if it's going to be a drop bear in its place or apparently if it's going to have chlamydia. Just don't go near it.
Maybe the British scarred them.
Koalas, okay. Koalas are cute.
Yep.
But also, they have two penises.
Yeah, they do.
And the females have two vaginas. So, they're not so cute, you know? I mean, sure, their faces are. But they kind of They kind of remind me of the dad from Beauty and the Beast, like in the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see it? Like, think about it. Maurice.
Yeah, Maurice.
Yeah, do you see it?
Yeah.
Because that's what I think about when I see a koala. I think of Maurice.
I'm scared of koalas. Even though they're going extinct.
Are they?
Yeah. Like, they're all dying from chlamydia.
Are they really dying from chlamydia?
Yeah, I was reading up on it. Yeah. Like, at first, when I first seen it, I thought it was like a joke. Like, how does a koala eat chlamydia? They're never saying something about, like, somewhat with livestock and... I don't know. It just got real weird. I don't know for sure, but I mean,
koalas are Belle's dad from Beauty and the Beast with chlamydia, and
just watch it through YouTubers through a lens. Don't get a close up in person.
So our next story, I'm going to integrate urban legends into this as well, because I feel like that works. Supernatural, yeah. Urban legends, kind of all falls together.
Sure, why not?
This one's about the morgue beneath the Crown Casino. All right.
Okay.
So there's a rumor that a morgue lies beneath the Crown Casino in Victoria, Australia, due to high mortality rates of the elderly and troublesome patrons on the gaming floor.
That's where all the koalas are.
No, that's not. No, there's no koalas there. And in hotel rooms. Also, there have been whispers regarding high volumes of suicide in bathroom stalls.
Mm.
Okay, so it makes sense to have a morgue down below, because why call an ambulance and ruin everyone else's night when they're spending all their money? Gossip goes that there are secret passageways within the casino and hotel where they are able to smuggle corpses without stirring up a scene, and there are trained professionals to handle the bodies. Of course, when the owner of the Crown Casino was asked about it, the rumor was denied despite the ongoing stories throughout the years. I'm talking years, not just like last year, not the year before.
Years. It's all right, like 5 years?
I don't know that.
7 years?
I don't know the exact years, but I know years with an S.
More than one.
Yeah. So the rumors of the casinos in Australia don't begin and end with the Crown Casino. There are some very true tales as well. One being Joseph Squizzy Taylor. He was a notorious real-life criminal who was centered in Melbourne, Australia. Legend has it that he led the construction of tunnels underneath the city to assist in a quick escape should there be a gambling raid. As crazy as it sounds, it was actually discovered more recently that a home near Squizzy's former gambling dens was found to have a secret passage leading across the street, which seems to be enough proof that these tunnels did exist and seem to some extent. tying to the Yarra River, and I don't know if I pronounced Yarra right, but that's how it looked. I read that the stench of the water is so awful that there's even a possibility of it being radioactive. And people have mentioned that there's a possibility of corpses from the casino may have something to do with that. Because years ago, the casino had built a riverbank outside to have an underwater lip, which is believed to be where the bodies are. It would make sense that no fish would want to inhabit that area. Because why would you want to be in an area where there are bodies? There's bodies.
How would the fish even like realize that? Like, oh, there's a couple bodies here. Let's not.
I don't think that the fish would realize it. I think that maybe the fish that would be there are just dead.
Dead.
Like dead. Like float to the top of the water dead. What other dead could there be?
No, I just thought, you know, like, I don't know.
Like pretend dead, like possums.
Yeah, remember you're playing possum in the water.
They're playing possums. They're like, oh, this water stinks so much. I don't want to be near it, so I'm going to pretend to be dead.
It's pure enough.
It's not organic water. Can you imagine going to a casino, though, and there'd be like a morgue of dead people underneath? That'd be so weird. I love the casino. Can we go to the casino?
No.
Can I just bring $20 in?
No.
No?
That's where you go to ruin yourself.
No. No, I'm not going to play on the penny machines. Anyway.
Penny machines. Jesus.
So, gambling lore is common, and the idea of a morgue being underneath the casino seems like it could be possible, but without further investigations, we may never know.
You may never know.
And of course,
I wonder why they wouldn't investigate that. Like,
well, because it makes money, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, like, I'm sure that the person that's like leading the casino,
it's probably Mob Ran.
You think so?
It's casino. Hell,
do you think we're in danger talking about Joseph Squizzy Taylor? Do you think that people
are in danger?
Oh my gosh, I'm terrified. I'm scared now. We better make sure that we can't be traced. Hopefully there's no underground tunnels to us.
No. There's only that one.
Okay. So our last story is about the town of Picton. All right?
Picton.
It
sounds like plankton.
It sounds like Picton, which is like a food coloring, I think. I don't know if that's what it is. But the town of Picton is about 50 miles southwest of Sydney, Australia. Wow, I said that weird, didn't I? Australia. Maine. The town was first explored in 1789, and the building of the Great New Road between Sydney and the Southern Highlands began in 1819, but it was officially founded in 1821. Originally named Stone Quarry, Picton houses the Red Bank Range Railway tunnel built in 1867, which has an extremely tragic history that continues to blanket the town in a dark cloud, and also giving the reputation of being the most haunted town in Australia. So it's not just a place in the town, it's the entire town is supposed to be haunted.
I know where not to go now.
Well, yeah. During World War II, the tunnel became a storage room for mustard gas and ammunition. But even before that, the town lost many residents in traumatic ways. One individual named Emily Bollard is said to haunt the tunnels since her death in 1916. Her story goes that she left home late at night to wander around town and found herself entering the tunnel. She was struck and killed by a train, but nobody knows if it was pure accident or if it was a planned suicide.
She was stressed out from the war.
No, it was before the war. It was 1916.
Oh, it was 1916. I thought you said something else.
No, I was talking about the war. So that could have been confusing. But nobody knows if it was pure accident or planned suicide. And people have reported seeing her in the tunnel as a flowing figure of a woman with no face. Can you imagine looking up or out of your window and seeing this woman with no face?
Yeah, that would be really disturbing.
That would be.
With no face. But how would you know if it was a woman? Long hair?
The flowing dress. The long hair, maybe. I don't know. That's a good... Maybe the ghost had boobs. Other shadow figures are known to move around on the walls of the tunnel, and in addition, there are apparitions of children and strange lights followed by sudden drops in temperature, and various electrical disturbances have been reported. So the tour operator, there was a tour operator, they don't have tours anymore, but the tour operator John Vincent, he's also a resident of Picton. He says that it's one of the most frightening places, and the tunnel is the worst. It's a very depressing place. Another individual has said that a friend told me about a ghost that haunts the tunnel. He told me and his non-believing uncles... He told me that he and his non-believing uncles toured one of the now defunct tours of Picton. When they reached the tunnel, he said, suddenly they noticed the lights in the distance. The sound of a stream train overwhelmed the tunnel. He said everyone, including the tour guide, screamed, "Get up against the walls." Remember that this tunnel has been active for almost 50 years at this time. He claims that he felt the wind on his face as he closed his eyes as the train passed.
He's pretty creepy.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
So when I was in, I was in elementary school, we had a librarian, and his name was Mr. Toomis, I think his name was. I kept wanting to say Thomas, but I think it's Toomis.
I think of Thomas, I think of a...
The choo-choo train?
Yeah.
Especially since we're talking about trains. So anyway, Mr. Toomis...
Mrs. Obvious.
Mr. Toomis told us a story about somebody on a train who apparently, like, put their head outside of the train, and it took their head off. And then ever since that night, whenever it's dark and rainy and stormy, the person's always looking for their fallen head. And that traumatized me my entire life. So now whenever I hear a train and it is raining,
you look for your head?
That's all I think about. I think about somebody looking for their head. And it's all Mr. Toomis' fault. But the tunnel isn't the only site that is haunted in Picton. There are local houses that surround St. Mark's Cemetery. While no one seems to be bothered by during the day, at night there are numerous sightings of Blanche Moon, who was an 11-year-old girl that died in 1886. She was playing on railway sleepers when she fell off and landed to her death. There was a family that was visiting St. Mark's Cemetery in 2010 who took a picture and believes that they have the ghosts of two children, Blanche Moon and David Shaw, who had died 60 years apart. The picture became widespread over the newspapers throughout the country, and the family swears that no children had been present in the cemetery while they were there, and only noticed after the pictures were downloaded on the computer. So, if you look at this picture that I printed out, so right there is one of the kids, and there's another one of the kids.
It's like clear as day.
Yes. But who's to say there wasn't other children? We don't know for sure.
Right.
And you can't even tell if, like, their clothing was from a certain era.
You know, how do I know this is actually real, though?
It could be photoshopped.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, if you look at it, and if, let's say it wasn't photoshopped, it's clear as day.
Oh, yeah. And, like, when you look at it online, it's even clearer. I feel like the printer kind of blurred it a little bit.
Yeah, took a...
So, you know... The maternity hospital is also supposedly housing a shadowy figure of an old matron, and there are echoes of babies crying.
Babies crying.
Poor babies. They're probably scared. If they're ghost babies, they don't know what's going on. I mean, adult ghosts don't even know what's going on, let alone baby ghosts. It feels terrible for them. Some people have
reported... A worried mother.
Some people have reported waking up gasping for air after being choked by invisible hands in the middle of the night. And then even across town...
What if that actually can happen?
Ghosts?
No, like invisible hands choking you like a ghost?
Well, they have that... What is it called? What is it called? When you're sleeping, but you're trying to wake up and you can't? Do you know what it's called?
It's called... Stuck in sleep?
Sleep paralysis. Okay. No, it's sleep paralysis. So your mind is awake, but your body can't move.
Your mind's awake, but your body can't move.
Yeah, that's a real thing. I wonder if it's just ghosts holding you down. I don't know.
Or maybe she drank too much.
I don't know. Drank too much, so that way they can't hear the fire alarm going off. Like last night when I woke up in the middle of the night.
Whoa. I think you had too much to drink.
I did not have too much to drink. I remember it clearly. I woke up at 5:04 in the morning because the alarm was going off in the hallway because we live in an apartment. And
why you gotta tell everybody?
No. Because I came in to tell you that the fire alarm was going off, and you told me that it was somebody just set it off by accident and to go back to sleep. So you want to send me and my children into a fiery grave because you don't want to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
First of all, I thought that was a dream.
You know what? I'm tired of you pretending like everything's a dream. It's not a dream. It's real life. You know, next time,
I'll splash
water in your face, and then you'll wake up.
You need the cowbell. The cowbell always works.
I don't have a cowbell.
Well, sucks.
Anyway, across the town of Picton, the Imperial Hotel plays unplugged jukeboxes, and a presence follows around the staff at night in the Stone Quarry Creek, where they may... Can you stop gagging?
It's bitter. Sorry.
Well, stop drinking it.
I can't help it.
The Stone Quarry Creek, where many people drowned, is haunted by the sounds of splashing and swimming in the water. There are so many other sightings and rumors about places all over the town, but that would take probably another 40 or so minutes to go over. Ghost towns were popular in the town of Picton, but local council shut them down. I wonder why they shut them down. Because I feel like, regardless of whether or not, you know, it was bringing bad mojo, it would still be bringing money in because people were coming to the town.
Or maybe they weren't making money. Maybe people were just coming in to see what was going on. Like, if it was true or not.
Well, yeah, but that would be part of the ghost tours. Where they would be making money.
No. Maybe they weren't trying to go to the ghost tours. They were just sneaking into the town to see if it was true.
That's true.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's the bottom of the bottle. We hope that you enjoyed the episode. Please make sure to like us on Facebook and leave a review. Also, follow us on Twitter at FWES Podcast and Instagram at Fine Wine and Evil Spirits. We also have our website up and running. Again, there's not much on it. It's still a work in progress. But if you want to check out our sources to learn more about the stories, go to finewineandevilspirits.com. Another reminder that this is maybe a little too much. PodCoin pays for you to listen to podcasts. Take advantage and use our code EVILSPIRITS, all one word, to get 300 points when you sign up. If you have any stories that relate to anything that we've talked about, send us a message, and with your permission, we'll feature your story on an upcoming episode. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope that you'll be back next week. Don't forget, 5 stars or...
We'll haunt you.